owners of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Oh, man. It is Saturday morning officially here on the West Coast. It has been officially for a long time around the rest of the greater United States of these here Americas. And anyway, I'm happy that it is. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our final hour on News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And this is where we break it down and let it be broken, all that stuff. And we're going to talk here right out of the gate about the Romney-Bain thing, the Bain Capital thing, which I don't want to, you know, bore anybody, but it's kind of an important story, and there's been things that have happened in this story that they ain't all that great for Romney. You know, and I said that that I might be interested in voting for Romney if you know, a lot of things fell into place, if what the guy was saying, and of course, what the guy says is not only political, having to do with the economy, but it's political having to do with his stand in social issues. If the guy, what the guy was saying sustained what I believe personally, and that's, I'm just talking about me. I ain't endorsing, we don't do that, you know, endorse a candidate. I'm saying, I am now officially endorsing, I would expect you to laugh if I said that. I would hope that you'd laugh if anybody on a talk show said that. I'm just telling you my thinking. And I also, I'm not stupid, forgive me, but I see what has happened to the country economically, and I cannot assign that to one president. I'm just not going to do it, okay? I'm just not going to play that game. I'm not going to try to lie to myself. I mean, you can go out and bullcrap a lot of people. You can go to a bar and just sell it to anybody you want. You go home, and you look in the mirror and say, yeah, this is all this stuff is Obama's fault. If you actually believe that, you know, never mind.
Yeah, don't say nothing you're going to regret.
I believe me, I'll hold my tongue. But I don't assign it to presidents. I got news for you. Don't make or break economies. The philosophy of a president is going to guide the legislation that he introduces, obviously, and then whether or not that stuff gets passed is Congress's job. He can certainly, a president can do a lot in the executive branch. But at the end of the day, just because a guy says something, I believe that Wall Street, George Bush said in 2002 that Wall Street needed more controls. Well, if we're to be consistent with the way we paint politicians as having the power of God and Superman and Spider-Man and, Aqualung.
Who's he?
He's a superpower, super pirouetter. Anyway, then my goodness gracious. That would be a major statement for a guy to make, but nobody's going to give Bush credit for that any more than anybody would give on the right Obama credit for anything good that happens to the economy now. So let's quit fooling around and let's get to it, okay? God, I get so sick and tired of the same song and a dance every damn election cycle. It's the same discussion. It's the same stupid discussion. Now, here's Romney, who's got himself in trouble with this Bain thing. And what's it about? It's about when did he leave Bain? And it's about, did he leave Bain in 1999, or did he leave Bain in 2002? And why is it important to know when he left Bain? Well, because Bain closed down a steel mill and a lot of guys lost their jobs, among other things that people have dug up. And why is that bad? Well, it's because, I'll tell you why it's bad, because Romney made a big mistake. He didn't own the work that's done at Bain 100%. He started to mess around with when he left Bain because he started to worry more about his association with Bain hurting him rather than like a mensch standing up and saying, yeah, this is what happens. It sucks. This is what you got to do to make a company profitable. Now, I got a couple of philosophies about that. If you're willing to say, as I heard a talk show host, you know, it's one of the big mistakes I made today is I flipped on a local talk show here in Los Angeles, an afternoon drive. And I should never make that mistake because all I hear is dumb coming out of the radio. And just so you know who it was, you guys listening in L.A., it wasn't a two-man show. It was a one-man show. And I'm listening to just the stupid that's pouring out of the radio is killing me, right? And I should never do that, and I did. And this jackass is saying the obvious. He's saying what every right-winger says. And I'm not putting down right-wingers, I'm not putting down conservatives, but this is the argument. The whole reason why businesses exist is to make money and to serve the stockholder. Okay, fine. Well, what's wrong with that, Mr. Henry? Well, what's wrong with it? Did you ask me what's wrong with it? Yes. Well, all right, then I'll get into what's wrong with it. But I don't disagree with you when you say the purpose, at least in your eyes and in the eyes of many capitalists, not all capitalists. Well, really? Which capitalists don't believe that? Well, hold on. Not all. Is to make money and to serve the stockholders, because I noticed one thing that you didn't say in all of that.
What?
You didn't say it was to make a quality product.
Well, that's that goes without saying. If you're making money, you're making a quality product.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Are you saying that people spend their money willingly and make a company a multi-billion dollar operation buying crap? Sometimes, yes. Uh-huh, yes. Give me an example of that, Mr. Hendry. Well, we spent a lot of time buying trucks and Hummers and trucks and this and that and this and that. And guess what? People stopped buying them because the gas got up to $5 a gallon. And you can talk all you want about how it sunk, how the union sunk Detroit. But here's the thing. I got a contract with a worker that I signed with that worker. Now guess what I got to do as a capitalist? I got to go out and make sure that I got enough money not only to cover the overhead, but make some money for my stockholders. And if I can't do that, I am some kind of a son of a bitch to turn around and say it's the union's fault that I ain't man enough to create a product that's going to cover the costs of my company and put some profit in our pocket. And they couldn't do that. You want to know why? Because they decided what they were going to do is give the American people what they want. Well, what the American people wanted, they thought, was a gas-guzzling truck. What the American people want at the end of the day is a beautiful-looking car that's not going to cost them a lot, that is going to last a long time, and that maybe, depending upon the needs of the individual, can seat anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 people. That's what the American people want. I didn't hear anything in there about truck.
Yeah, but that's what it turned out to be.
No, not necessarily. Nobody likes paying $4, $5 a gallon for gas. Nobody likes paying $3 a gallon for gas, which is what I'm paying right now here in California. That's what we pay for regular. If I'm lucky, $3. No one likes doing that. It starts to piss you off after a while. You don't want to buy trucks. And one of the things that the brain surgeons in Detroit who keep talking about unions, because these guys are the biggest pack of punks I've ever heard in my life, you know, to turn around and say, just say it. You guys don't have the brains, you haven't got the brawn, you haven't got the guts, you haven't got the creativity, you haven't got what it takes to create an automobile that is going to drive Detroit and the American automotive industry to the lead. You guys can't get it done. Well, the unions, whoa. You signed a deal with the unions. You signed the contract. You agreed to pay them that money. You know why you did? Because you thought you were man enough to go out and make the money and create a product that would make the money to cover the overhead, to cover the labor costs, to cover the operation, and make a profit for your stockholders. You believed you could do that. Otherwise, why would you sign that deal? Did you sign that deal on purpose so you could politically put it off on the unions later when you knew you were going to fail? What game are you guys playing anyway? So anyway, what do we got? We got Detroit on its ass, and nobody wants to spend $5 a gallon. Now, I don't know about you. That doesn't sound like a news flash to me. I think you probably could have gone into any office in Detroit at any automotive company and said, you know, people aren't going to want to spend $5 a gallon, and I think everybody pretty much would agree with you, but there's a problem there. They didn't put that into the mix, or as they like to say in the military, they didn't factor it in. So I'll get back to the whole story about Bain Capital and about capitalism.
Yeah, man, you're talking all this stuff. You sound like a... Excuse me.
What do you do, man? Take a bong hit?
No.
What? What do you want to ask me?
You sound like a real talk show and everything.
If I'm sounding like a real talk show, then I better stop talking about this.
But you might as well finish it out.
Anyway, all I'm going to say is this. Making money, which is, according to the talk show host I heard on local radio here in L.A., driving around this afternoon, making money. Why, that's the number one job of a company. Okay. So making a good product is not. Well, I thought making money means you make a good product. Making money means you have convinced the customer that it's a good product. When those people busted down the doors and trampled over a man and killed him on that Black Friday sale at that Walmart, wherever the hell it was, and they finally got into the store after killing a human being, and they finally got into the store, what do you think they were buying? That stampede of customers. Garbage from China. Crap! But the price was right, man. I bet you Walmart made themselves some money that day. Does that mean they're selling a quality product? Well, it saves families money. Okay. If that's what you want to do, and if that makes the customer happy, then that's great. Okay? But if your company is not doing well, and you're not, and you're, and, you know, your company is losing money, or your company all of a sudden finds that it's losing money, because guess what? While you were making money selling garbage, all of a sudden now people have got to, you know, watch their pennies, and now they're really looking for a quality product. They're looking for a car that's beautiful, that's functional, that's affordable, that gets good gas mileage, and you ain't anywhere near any of that stuff, Jack. Because you don't know how to make a quality product. All you know how to do is to keep pumping that crap out when everybody's flush, make a whole lot of money selling garbage, making money for your stockholders. And you give the big speech when you go around all these little Rotary Club meetings and you say, well, that's the purpose of a company, is to make money. All right, so.
Man, I'm pretty good. All right, let's talk about something else.
All right, fine. We'll talk about something else. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It is our news and information hour. And we're also on live on our videocast at philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, so, but we do have a couple of calls, people wanting to talk about business. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and information hour. What's the tenor of the calls, bud?
Well, there's people on the phone, or there's one guy at least I'm going to put on. He is a businessman. Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and he wants to talk about, well, you know, how he's doing business and everything, and what he's going to do, you know, in the business sense and stuff like that. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but he won't talk about the business he has.
All right, that's fine. Let's get him on the line here, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And, by the way, before we go to our phone calls, I want to remind all of you that our episode 17 of the Free Phil Henry podcast is up and rock and rolling right now. Episode 17, part 2 in our Pervert trilogy, this featuring Austin Amarca, episode 17 of the Free Phil Henry podcast. All right, Jeff, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir. I'm told you're a businessman.
Mr. Henry, I have done business. I'm a little bit nervous.
That's okay. I mean, I'm with you here. There's no, you know, there's no mistakes you can make here.
But I do have a small business that I operate, and I've talked to you before on your show, and I really enjoy it, but I heard you saying that, you know, business is right now, I guess, sort of, you know, because of the recession we have, and you were talking about what's the purpose of making a business.
Right, and as a businessman, what would you say?
Well, I mean, I right away, you know, as soon as I heard what you were saying, I was thinking that's exactly how I feel, because...
What is your business, by the way, sir?
Yes, sir, I've got a shaved ice concession down in Huntington. I mean, it's a small shaved ice. And it's down on Huntington Pier in Huntington Beach.
Okay. And is it like a push cart or?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't call. I mean, I do have a mobile operation. I don't really. It's a mobile operation. That's what I say about it. And I cover the pier, you know, or there's a. We use the phrase, I cover the waterfront, you know, but I cover the pier mostly. And in the summertime, obviously, it's going to be, you know.
What can you tell me a little bit about your product? What do you. I know what shaved ice is, like a snow cone.
Well, that, yes, sir. Well, we do the snow cone party pack. We have a Hawaiian shaved ice, which is different Hawaiian flavors. We also do the ultimate snow cone. We have, like, the ultimate snow cone. We do a big kahuna. These are all product placement and different ways of doing a product and everything. And we also have the little snowy, which is, you know, just, it's kind of a stupid thing. It was the idea of my partner where it's a snow cone laid out on a mirror, you know.
And what does that mean?
Well, it's kind of stupid. We lay out the ice on a mirror like it's, you know.
Like it's Coke.
Yeah, like it's Coke.
You're not doing that with kids around.
No, I mean, that's more of an adult. It's more of an adult entertainment. It's an adult party favor that we do, and we don't do that with no kids, no. But we'll, you know.
Well, what are they doing? They're not snorting it.
No, you don't snort it. You just lift the mirror up and slide it down into your mouth. And but I have a portable shaved ice stand.
But tell me, where did you get your equipment?
Well, I got it. You know, I went and to a department store, and I saw this. And this is what I mean. I went to a department store and I saw like a kid. They had a kid shaved ice packet or package, and I went. I just took it. I just redid the wheels on it, and I put a more substantial front. It was one that was intended, I think, for like it said on the package, intended for ages 5 through 8 or something like that. But I made it. I industrialized it up. I put heavy duty wheels on it, and I mean, it's still the same little girl ice machine, but we put a front on it so it don't look like it. I mean, you know.
So you're can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
You got a little girl machine?
No, I don't have no little girl. What I'm saying is, you know.
Well, yeah, but you do, man.
No, I don't, man. Yeah, I do, but what I did is I refurbished it.
So you changed it a little bit.
Yes, sir. And
yeah, but didn't you?
Bud, hold on for a minute, okay?
I mean, I changed it, you know, and so what I'm trying to say to you, Mr. Henry, is I saved money on the refurbishment of the Hawaiian shaved ice party package machine, and I saved money on the little snowy snow cone operation.
And well, what are those, man? Is that your business?
No, these are different kind of snow cones that can be made in different shaved ice packages, and you'll do party packs and everything. Like, if you're on the pier one day and there's a mother and she's got all these kids, and you can whip up, like, you can do the, for instance, the ultimate snow cone package. I can get snow cones to all, I can make sure she gets snow cones to all those kids within seconds for a relatively, you know, low price.
And what does a snow cone cost?
Cost 75 cents.
75 cents. Different sizes?
Well, different flavors and everything like that. But, I mean, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, we don't skimp on quality, you know.
So you get the most quality snow cone going?
Well, I don't know if I got the most quality snow cone going. I mean, I don't know what some of these guys have got bigger operations. If you go down to Newport Beach, you go up Seal Beach, you know, there's more lucrative, it's a more lucrative cone, you know, it's a more lucrative cone area. Or not, I mean, that's what I call it.
You guys in the snow cone business, I mean, what you're doing is you're selling, it's like your vendors, right?
Well, I don't like to think of, we have a mobile operation, you know.
But, I mean, isn't that kind of what, I'm not asking your business for, I don't want to know anything you don't want to tell me in terms of taxes or whatever. I don't know what the difference is, but aren't you a vendor?
Again, I mean, I think the term vendor makes it sound like I'm some ice cream cone man, you know, going down the street and selling ounces. I mean, you know.
No, nobody's calling you a drug dealer.
Yeah, man, I bet you know people do that, though.
Yeah.
No, I don't, man. That's the bad part about it. People think you're going up and down the pier selling OZs and everything like that. And I've got a totally legitimate thing that I do. But I mean, yeah, I'm not. I have a mobile operation. But if you go to you go down to Newport Beach, and that's the cone down there is going to run you a cone. If you go get a cone at Newport, it's going to run you twice what it runs you at a Huntington Beach Pier. So I like where I'm at right now in terms of, you know, where my product placement is.
So you like the pricing on your snow cone, and you do a nice business, huh?
Do you say I do an ice business? That's radical.
Yeah, that did sound pretty good.
No, I didn't. Well, okay, you can use it if you want.
I'm going to say if someone says to me, how's business? It's an ice business. It's an ice business.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, but you do a nice business.
Yeah, yeah, we do a nice business. You know, but I also have a paper route, too. I mean, I gotta, there's no question I got to offset, I mean, augment, you know, what I'm doing and everything.
You have a paper route, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I pull a shift at Burger King. But my main focus right now is to get the cone, where I need it to be.
All right. Thanks very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, blew that guy off, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to get moving here, man, because the guy's talking about where he wants the cone to be, and I didn't want the answer to that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here on our News and Information Hour. Friday night.
I mean, if you want your cone, where do you want your cone to be?
Phil Hendry.
Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, our News and Information Hour, and thank you very much, sir. Mr. Doubter, I understand, was Jeff Doubter we were talking to, and he was telling us about his shaved ice concession. It's doing real good, man, so that's, you know. But he's right. Quality product. All right, as I was mentioning during our, when you guys were not with us, I was talking to the guys here during the break, and I walked out of a restaurant today. I was talking, you know, meeting with some people, and I was up in the Silver Lake part of Los Angeles, and the humidity that hit me. Now, I know all across the country, we're all dealing with our different kinds of weather, but East Coast and the South, big-time humidity. It is not something, and the Midwest, certainly, but it's not something we necessarily deal with out West. However, more and more of late, I remember summers past where it's been getting muggy, and I just took a look at, we've got this thing, what is it, Bud?
It's called Hurricane Fabio, and it's bad.
Well, it's a category. Hurricane what?
What is it?
Hurricane Fabio.
Fabio.
I don't know. What? So what? You know.
Well, you don't. All right. I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, the hurricane's not going to get upset if we mispronounce its name. But the fact is, it's a hurricane, and that's what causes all this crap to start surfacing in the weather. You know, that's what causes the. I don't know what you want to call it. The humidity, the mugginess and stuff like that. And it's not been pleasant, I can tell you that. So with a hurricane down there in Mexico, I guess it's going to just get worse and worse and worse until it gets. And there's another one out in the Pacific. Which one is that?
That's called a tropical storm, man. Ain't no hurricane.
Yeah, I know it's not. It's a tropical storm. It's called Debbie. Wait a minute, man. I thought that Debbie was done.
Not Debbie ain't done, according to the weather on the map that they make.
Debbie ain't done according to the weather and the map they make.
Yeah, right there, see? See, this is a way better map because it has a thing that spins around to show you how it goes.
Yeah, that's a cool, it's a hurricane tracker. And this Hurricane Debbie, which came from, it looks to me like some, you know, Europe or whatever, from North Pacific, or North Atlantic, and it came swinging down. And as soon as it got near Florida, it was, it remembered that it's a hurricane, so it must hit Florida. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it thinks. How come it made a big turn there?
It made a turn. It was going straight down, and now it made a turn, went across. Yeah, June 26th, June 27th. Where is it now? Oh, it's moved out into the Atlantic. And it's on its way, 36-hour forecast. Oh, dude, it's not even anywhere near. June 28th. Where the hell is it? June 30th. It's gone, man. Because I was talking to a friend of mine in Florida. It's gone. But so thanks a lot for getting the right hurricane.
But I don't know, man. I thought the one down in Mexico called Debbie.
What do you mean you thought the one in Mexico was called Debbie?
Yeah.
If you're looking at the map, what does it say?
It says Debbie.
Yeah, but where on the map?
Florida.
Is that California? Is that the West Coast?
No. Oh, okay.
God, man.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just remembered where. Okay, yeah, so look at the West Coast, man, and what do you see?
Fabio.
Fabio, great. Anyway, so that's the problem there with Fabio. Reaction to Penn State findings. This is some gruesome crap. God. Turn that off, bud, before I rip it out of the wall at iTunes. You know, I like iTunes, but enough is enough. So this is the Penn State reaction. Reactions to the free report released on Thursday that found Joe Paterno and other top Penn State officials hushed up child sex abuse allegations against Jerry Sandusky more than a decade ago for fear of bad publicity. Here is a Paterno family statement. Now, what do you think they're going to say?
Oh, man.
The idea that any sane, responsible adult would knowingly cover up for a child predator is impossible to accept. The far more realistic conclusion is that many people didn't fully understand what was happening and underestimated or misinterpreted events. Sandusky was a great deceiver. He fooled everyone, law enforcement, his family, coaches, players, neighbors, university officials, and everyone at Second Mile. That is the Paterno family statement. What do you think?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean,
you know, there's some reality to the idea of deceiver, but let me just say something. You know, you never want to get into this game, and we've done it in history a million times, to deflect blame we always assign to our opponent or to the person that perhaps caused these things. We always assign to them some incredible superpowers of deception and genius. And remember what I was saying about Hitler? We love to call Hitler a genius. He wasn't a genius. He was about as stupid a guy. You never saw a man with more power screw it up faster than Adolf Hitler. What he did have was moxie. What he did have was guts. What he did have was a chutzpah, if I can use a, you know, Yiddish word applicable to Hitler.
He was a mensch.
Yeah, he was a real mensch. But the fact is, he wasn't any genius. Why do we call him a genius? Because we don't want people to know what we were, which we were cowards.
You think that?
Yes, I know. I don't think it. I know it. Cowards. The world didn't want to get into another shooting match. The world did not want another war. They just had one. It was devastating as hell. They didn't want another one. They were willing to do anything to keep from having a war. Americans, we wanted to be isolationists. No more getting involved with the, I tell you, if the Japanese hadn't attacked us, we might have sat that whole war out even while the concentration camps were burning human beings alive. They would. I mean, I don't know what would have happened. I mean, that was the world. The world didn't have the guts until we were forced into the fight. There was no turning back. There was no, and I say we, you know, it was Winston Churchill was the guy who said, no, we're not sitting still for this. We're going to fight you guys. They had to get rid of that guy Chamberlain first. So now what do we have? We got this guy Sandusky, and we say, well, he was a great deceiver.
Yeah, but he did fool the cops and everything.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. When you say he fooled the cops, what kind of cops did they have? I mean, I hate to say that, but the fact of the matter is, Penn State is such an institution, and you've got a football coach. Now, I understand that the cops had some kind of an undercover operation going where Sandusky was confronted by the mother, and I don't think they actually got anything from that, did they?
No, I don't think what they overheard, they couldn't arrest him for.
Because all that was going on there, as far as these cops that were eavesdropping was concerned, was some kind of a shower situation. And maybe he patted the kid on the shoulder. I don't know. But I don't care if law enforcement wasn't up to snuff, if the family, the coaches, the players, you know, that you want to start to tell me that he is just a fantastic deceiver. I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it, man. 1999, this is not 1979, it's not 1969, it's not 1950, it's 1999. There was plenty that people knew by then about this kind of thing.
So you're not letting Joe Paterno off the hook, even when the family's saying what they're saying.
No. To my understanding, this is Scott Paterno, the late coach's son. To my understanding, when all is said and done, Joe never said to former athletic director Tim Curley, don't investigate. There was no intent to conceal anything by Joe. It was reported to people he was supposed to, Well, according to this report by the FBI, that is by the former FBI director, excuse me, Judge Louis Free, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. That Paterno knew essentially the facts of the situation, that the school knew that what had happened in 1998 with this kid when, you know, that eavesdropping thing in the shower, and now we get this stuff later. So they had a pattern already. They had this guy's...
Yeah, but he's in the shower, that kid, in a one time, or I don't know, when the cops was overhearing it?
No, the cops were eavesdropping on a conversation that the mother was having with Sandusky, where he allegedly was apologizing for his, quote, you know, lapse of judgment, or whatever that bull crap was that he said. And apparently it was discussing an incident where he might have wrestled with or touched the kid in the shower. And they were both, like, didn't have clothes on, obviously, because it's a shower.
Yeah, that's different from that other guy came around a corner, what he heard.
I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I'm going to put this together. What is this? Sandusky. Now what has he done, man? What are you talking about? He was just in the shower with the kid and we had the cops. Well, it's another thing. What? He was in the shower again with another kid. Hey, come on, man.
Yeah, you're right, man. That's like one too many.
One too many? Two too many. All right, so that's got, now here's Jay Paterno. Here's another son. Speaking to ESPN, very often the people closest to someone like this are the ones that miss it. We aren't the only ones who missed it. Every one of us wishes that we would have seen something or caught something that would have done something about it. I don't, these sound like very weak things to say. They don't sound like no one's gonna be embroidering this stuff onto a doily someplace. Yes, this is the statement that's just basically encapsulates.
What's a doily?
Never mind, man.
The thing you put on like a sofa. What?
Never mind. This is a comment by Governor Tim Corbett, who was the Attorney General when the investigation in Sandusky was begun by state prosecutors. There are monsters among us, people who will hurt children for their own sexual gratification. Every university, school, business, and individual has an obligation to follow up and report such cases. All right. Karen Peets, the chairwoman of the university's Board of Trustees. Paterno's 61 years of excellent service to the university is now marred. That's, wow, what a big thing that was.
Yeah, well, she's the lady yesterday said, you can't, you know.
She was the one that came out with that comment about how you can't judge a man's entire life by one. And it's true. Let's take, for example, the one that everybody loves to bring up. Thomas Jefferson, he owned slaves. Let's take Martin Luther King. He had relations outside of his marriage. What were their lives? What were their lives? In the case of Thomas Jefferson, he was the founder, one of the founding fathers. He had slaves. Slavery was legal. Slavery was, in point of fact, an institution. Slavery was such an institution and a legal institution that all the white people listening to me right now, 99.999% of them, were they living back then, they'd have slaves.
You too?
Me too.
Oh, man! That's not cool.
What do you mean it's not, Robert? I'm just giving you the honest facts, okay? If I was an 18th century man, I'm not a 20th century, I'd be an 18th century man.
Yeah, but know what you know now.
Knowing what I know now, if I'm living in the 18th century, I'd be a multi-billionaire. You crazy?
No, I don't mean about, like, landing on the moon.
No, it don't work like that, man. You don't get to go back in time and be real super polished about these things. Those are the people that they are our teachers. They are the ones that went through it. Slave and slave owner alike. And and even in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's book, Black Profiles in Courage, even he states in his book that he does not fault George Washington, does not consider George Washington to be any kind of an evil or man or a hypocritical man because he owned slaves, because he makes the same argument. That was the situation then. And Washington's words and his desires and his deeds as a president of this country showed that he was a man who wanted the abolition of that slave trade, even if he himself was not a strong enough individual to make it happen as president. Now we move on to Dr. King. What he stood for in his life, the equality of people, human rights, cannot be wiped away by an extramarital affair. I'm sorry. Doesn't work like that. Maybe J. Edgar Hoover thought the guy was a tomcat and didn't like him, and a commie and all this stuff. We see this throughout history, the imperfection of people. Now we get to this guy Sandusky. The raping of children, but his overall life's work, wow, he was a linebacker coach. Woo!
That's pretty good.
No, it ain't. It doesn't even come close to anything that even measures to the level of a Thomas Jefferson or a Martin Luther King. He's a freaking football coach. And I'll tell you, even if he was president of the United States, and let's take Roman Polanski, better example. There's a guy that had sex with a 14-year-old girl, raped a 14-year-old girl. I mean, I'm just going to say it, man. But he's a great filmmaker. Doesn't count for me, man. I mean, I watch that guy's movies. I watch his movies. I like his movies. But I can't forget what he is. And it will always be with me. See? Break. Break for what?
Commercials.
Oh, sorry. Yes. It's time to break. Was I giving another speech?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with our closing speech. I'm kidding.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and if you look here on, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, you see that we brought up a chart, a hurricane tracking chart here from the Weather Channel, and you can see...
Let me do it, because I just want to do what a weather guy does.
Well, you can't do what a weather guy does.
Yeah, but I want to do the pointer.
Let him do it.
Go ahead.
Right over here, there's Hurricane Emilia, and... Yeah, and look at that. How come they name it Mexican names?
All right, give me that, will you, bud? What do you mean, how can they name what Mexican names?
Why do they name give it a Mexican name?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because they haven't consulted. Who names them? I don't know. Is Mexico in on the naming of these hurricanes that are down near their country? Because that is their country. And you would think that as the hurricane heads into their country, they're going to give it their own name. I don't know.
Maybe they could just call it like hurricane, give it like an American name.
Yeah, bet you they give it an Anglo name.
What do you mean they give it an Anglo name?
Yeah, they'll probably call that Hurricane Wayne.
Yeah, Hurricane Wayne or Hurricane Herb.
Hurricane Herb.
Yeah, I bet you they do.
Well, I don't know how you keep that stuff straight. There must be some coordination between the United States and the weather bureaus in the United States and in Mexico, where they just agree on it or something.
Yeah, right. I'm saying, okay, we got a hurricane. Mind if we give it a Mexican name? Because... you know, we don't want to give it no Anglo name.
Well, what makes you think they're, well, I guess you got a point.
Yeah, they call the other one Hurricane Debbie. They didn't call this one Hurricane, you know, Steve or anything.
Now, name them after your characters.
Yeah, why don't you guys in Mexico take the names of our characters, like Hurricane Robert.
Hurricane Bud.
There was a Hurricane Bud.
There was?
Yeah, that was down it was in Louisiana, I think. There was definitely a Hurricane Bud. So anyway, that was the story there. They're both, actually, this is a tropical storm, Amelia, and Hurricane Fabio is a one, and Hurricane Fabio looks like it's off of Acapulco down there, man, heading in. There's some pretty heavy-ass stuff happening around there, down there in whatever the hell it's called. Okay, thank you. Now, speaking about down there and whatever the hell it's called, we did have, and we don't have it now, and I apologize, but we did have our New York Times front page up. And I was showing everybody here on Phil TV and HD, and, you know, I can describe this for you guys at home. I had up all the Friday, I actually got a copy of all the Friday the 13th of the 20th century. And, of course, now it's the 14th, it's July 14th, but yesterday was Friday the 13th when we were doing the show. So I had, it was November the 13th of, the first Friday the 13th of the 20th century was November the 13th, 1903.
It took that long?
Yeah, it took that long for a Friday the 13th to pop up in the 20th century. And there was an interesting article there. among the many interesting articles. When you read, you will learn so much if you will take a look at not just the historical record, but if you can find the historical record day to day, like a New York Times or whatever your paper is, it'll blow your mind. And the article was an article about the Panama Canal. And Roosevelt was having a fight with Congress over where it would go. Now, this is probably something that would be covered in a history class about the Panama Canal. And yet, just looking at the newspaper coverage of it was interesting. Teddy Roosevelt, not Franklin, this was President Theodore Roosevelt, wanted the Panama Canal built in what was a new republic called Panama. If those of you who don't know, Panama used to be part of Colombia.
What's that?
That's a country. What do you mean, what's that?
You know what Colombia is? Well, no, I thought there's a school.
It's a country, okay, bud? Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a school.
I never heard about no Colombia. I know of the school and a broadcasting company.
That's right. Panama used to be part of the Colombia Broadcasting System, and then it broke away and formed Panama, a country. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So, well, you're just kidding now.
Of course I'm kidding. Anyway, oh, look at that. There's the music. Well, that's fine with me, man. That means it's the weekend. That means I'm out of here. That means I love you. I love you all. But I sure as hell ain't going to sit and do another, 3 or 4 hours here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry needs. Get yourself a backstage pass. Watch our live streaming, our live screaming and streaming video. And tomorrow's podcast of the show will be worth it just to hear Watson say that he wants to turn Michael Myers' head into a shrunken head. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.